God, thank you for being good and kind and loving to us. Thank you that we could come together and read your word. Remember Jesus. Lift up your name. God, I pray that as we read your word, that you would speak to us, draw our hearts to you, and transform us by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so set the table. There are things that are permanent, that last, and there are things that aren't. We know this. We've been around. We've seen things in life. There's things that, you know, kind of just, they're always there. And there's things that are kind of disposable. So whenever a new commercial comes out for a new one of these, this is an old one of these, but it doesn't look like it. It's held up pretty well. But when a new commercial comes out, and we were watching the game yesterday, and there were, that's all I'm going to say. We were watching the game yesterday. This is supposed to be a happy day. We're watching the game yesterday, and there were commercials for the new Samsung line of phones. We're not Samsung users, but that reminded us there are also new Apple phones coming out. We're Apple users, and so it reminded us our phones. Even though you know you pick it up and it seems pretty. This is going to mess up the recording. It's pretty solid, and it's a good stable thing and hunk of metal and other stuff. It seems like it would be around forever, but you watch the commercials and you know this is not going to be used by anybody in a few years. It's temporary. It's not going to last. But not everything is like that. Not everything is as temporary as that $1,000 piece of metal you hold up to your head and talk into. Last week I was remembering with my sister. We were reminiscing about our childhood home in Waverly, and the backyard, and specifically the context was we were remembering how I face planted either because of a railroad tie or on a railroad tie, mangled my nose, and we were remembering that. That home is still there. There's people who live there. I've driven by it with my boys. It's 40 some years later, however long after it was built, it's still standing. There's people who still use it. Lasts a lot longer. Not really temporary. Not disposable. Not like a phone. Could you imagine? Do you think anybody's using your first cellular phone? No. It doesn't exist. It's a brick. There are things that are last last for almost seems like forever. Things that don't, they're a lot more temporary. And there's something in us that is pulled towards things that will last. There's something in us that is almost, we're attracted to things that will last longer. You know, diamonds are for, yeah. when we would go to the zoo in Omaha, which we haven't done very much lately because my boys are, they're not zoo age, but the Henry Dorley Zoo, beautiful zoo, incredible zoo. We would go there, and every time we would go, I would say, we need this many people are with us, so we need this many passes for the day, and they would always say, what? Sure you don't want the season pass, because a season pass is better. It's longer. It'll last longer. And I know this is just exposing my lack of logic. There's always something in me that would go like, oh, yeah, I really, because then we could come back anytime for a whole year. The day thing, that's really, really temporary. That's almost disposable. It is. You throw them away at the end of the day. Or we get the one where we come back all year long. Always, and I'm ashamed to admit it, there was one time that got the yearly one. Horrible financial decision. Because how often do you go to the zoo every year? Even, you go once a year maybe. So bad decision. Something in us that is pulled to things that last longer. We prefer things that last. We look down on things that don't last. We look down on things that are temporary. We know that it's not as good if it doesn't last as long. That's why we don't like it as much. When I pick up a disposable cup, and you see my face, right? That's how I feel. I can't even express how much I despise drinking. I do it because I'm normal, but I'm not. Okay, never mind. Keep going. I shouldn't have gotten that much laughter. Put the disposable cup on my lips and the foam or the cardboard ones, the paper ones. It's just, I hate that feeling. Because I know what glass feels like. A good glass mug with your coffee in it. It just, the feeling of glass on your lips. In a good way. We don't like what doesn't last. What we're going to lose. What won't stay with us. And we value what lasts forever. We see a statue, we see somebody's name on a street, we say, oh, that's a legacy, that's something to be admired. We like what lasts. Isn't that why we try to insure everything with insurance policies? Anything that can be insured, we insure because we want it to last. We lock things up and we keep things tight and we take precautions because we want things to last. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Our text today is going to talk to us about this, about things that last and about things that don't last. It is going to start with love. It's going to start with what we love. And then it's going to go on to legacy and purpose. It's going to compare what is passing and what is eternal. It's going to tell us, listen, it's going to start with love because it's going to tell us as we go through the text what is worth loving. Hear that phrase. It's going to tell us what's worth loving. So verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. We saw this 2 weeks ago, and this isn't a commercial because I don't get anything from it. It's a help thing. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, or you didn't hear the message from John 15, 1 John 2:15, go to iwantpeacewithgod.com, look under the button that says English, and find the message from 2 weeks ago. We're not going to cover this, but do not love the world or the things of the world. What's he saying? He's talking about our supreme love, the center of our heart, what we most love, what consumes us, what consumes our thoughts and our desires, our conversations, what we work for, what we give ourselves to, our resources. And what does he say? Don't let that be the world. Don't let that be the world or anything in the world. Nothing that the world contains should be at the center of your heart. Shouldn't love it. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He brings up this contrast. If you say, that seems really radical. Go back and listen to the message from 2 weeks ago because it is. It's as stark of a contrast as it appears. If anyone loves the world, love the Father is not in him. That's the contrast of love. Or we love the world and what it contains, or we love God. It's one or the other. For all that is in the world. So now in verse 16, he's going to give us this big reason. I'm sure 2 weeks ago, there were some of you who said, well, keep going because he's in the middle of a thought. And so today we finish that thought. For all that is in the world, he gives us this big reason. He's going to give us a huge reason why we should love God and not love the world. And he's going to describe what we normally love. So do not love the world or anything in the world. It's everything that's in the world, all that is in the world. So he's going to describe three big categories. Everything in the world, he's going to put them in three categories. The desires of the flesh, that's the first one. The desires of the flesh. Desire is this longing, it's a passion, is a passionful longing for what? For what our body wants, what our flesh wants, what our human nature desires and goes after. It's everything that goes in the category of what our flesh, our body desires. It's comfort and pleasure and security. Everything that goes into this category is our appetites, whether it's for food or for diversion or for sex or for being secure with clothes and a roof or entertainment. All of our appetites go in this category, the desire of the flesh. Category number two, the desire of the eyes, desires of the eyes. This is desire, same word, desires, yearning, this passionate desire for what? For what we see. It's what our eyes can literally look at. It's the desire of what we can see. It's not just what we can literally see, but what we also can imagine, our mind's eye. It's what we want, what we can envision, what we can imagine. It's physical objects, what we can grab onto with our hands. It's everything that we can see and then desire. It's stuff that we want to buy and get and accumulate. And it's money. It's stuff. It's clothes. It's cars and houses. It's new stuff. It's what we don't have yet. It's the new iPhone. It's always more and more. It's the desires of the flesh, the desires of our eyes, and then the last one, the pride of life. Third category, pride of life. That's our boastfulness. It's our arrogance. It's our showing off. It's putting on display our life and who we are and everything that we have and everything that makes us us. It's the image that we portray, our reputation, our identity, who we are, what we want other people to think of us. It's our achievements. It's who I am. It's how you look at me. It's everything that we put on display as people. It's our muscles and our makeup and our clothes and our appearance. It's titles and respect. That's what boastfulness of life is. So what are the things that fall into those three categories for you? What are the desires that push on your life that make you who you are? What are the appetites of the strongest appetites of the flesh for you? What are those? The thing that you're always trying to satisfy? What do you most want to get, to obtain, to buy? That's the second category, right? What do you dream about having someday? What do you want for Christmas? It's coming up, isn't it? Yeah. What's the part of your image that you have to maintain? Who you are? The thing that you want to change about the way people see you? What makes you feel like you're looked down on by other people or bullied? What are the jokes people can make about you that really don't matter? The jokes people make about you that do matter? What can they say? What do people say about you or do to you that would make you feel as if they're not respecting me? What are the desires of your flesh, the desires of your eyes, the desires of, and the boastfulness of your life? See, those three things, whatever they are for you, and if we think about it, bet you got two or three things at least in each one of those categories, right? When we think about it, those things are the things that inspire us in life. They're the things that motivate us. They're the things that push us forward. They motivate what we do. We give our lives to these things, don't we? We give our love to these things. That's why John puts this in the context of love. Do not love the world, because here's what's in the world. These are the things that we love. This is what we go after. It's what we desire. They're at the center of our heart. They become our idols. They occupy the center of our affections, of our hearts. And when we lose them, we're destroyed. And then look at what he says about them. Keep reading. Everything that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, the boastfulness of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. See, he's going to start deconstructing the things that we most love, the things on which we build our life. He's going to start deconstructing our desires and who we are and our image. He starts by saying it's not from God. Those things don't come from God. Doesn't necessarily mean that everything that my flesh desires is sinful. I want to eat. I woke up this morning so thirsty. I have a 2-quart thing of water that I fill up every morning. I try to get through 2 of them a day. I filled it up this morning and I got halfway through. I drank a quart of water just without stopping. I was really thirsty. That's not sinful. But what does he say? He said that the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the boastfulness of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. He's starting to undo what we've built our lives on. We love these things. He says they're not from God. They're not the essence of the life that God has given you. We make them the center of our lives. And he says they don't come from God. They come from life. They come from ourselves. They come from our flesh. And then he keeps going and he undoes them even more. He completely deconstructs these things that we build our lives on. Remember the beginning. We value what? We value what is lasting. We look down on what is, oh, that's a disposable camera. Well, let's toss it over. I'll take a picture. We'll toss it back. No, we look down on what's disposable. We value what is lasting. And so we build our lives on things that what? Verse 17, the world is passing away along with its desires. It's temporary. It's temporal by definition. The entire world, all of the desires that we have are temporal. Everything that we go after, everything that we try to achieve, they are as temporary as the iPhone. They're as temporary as the one-day Zoo pass. They will not last forever. They will not last. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing that we desire, nothing that we go after, nothing we see and say, I want to get that. I hope I get that for Christmas. I want that. You better respect me. Don't make fun of that thing about me because it makes me feel like I'm not the person in your eyes that I think I am. That doesn't last. It will not last forever. Most of it doesn't even last through our whole lives. Much of it won't even get to the end of our lives. Everything is temporary. And what is he saying? The big idea from this text is kind of a negative idea, but here's what it is. We give our supreme love, the center of our hearts, to things that we will lose. We put at the center of our hearts that which we will lose sooner or later. It's a great irony of life because I say that a lot. I know that I say that. It is the great irony. Just pretend this is the one. It is a great irony of life. We don't value things that are temporary. When we know something is temporary, we say, it's a paper cup, throw it away. We always choose what is lasting over what is temporary. How long will it last? This is the irony, except with the biggest things of life, with the things that we build our lives on, that we run after, that we most desire, that we put in the center of our hearts, that we love. We love what is temporary. We base our lives on temporary desires, on our temporary image. Someday, you will not look the way you look right now. Shocker, right? And it doesn't, it's not in our best interest to do this because as we build our lives on things that we're going to lose, on what is temporary, we give our deepest love to things that we're going to lose, we are condemning ourselves to being unsatisfied, to being unhappy because we lose what we love. It's horrible to lose what you love, isn't it? Have you ever lost something you love? Have you ever lost something that was important to you? I know this is a really dark, dark place to go on a beautiful Sunday because it makes us sad. You think about something you loved, and you lost, someone, something, whatever. I remember when I had to give my beautiful, beautiful Doberman Pinscher. I know some of you say, gorgeous dog. I had to give her to her new owner, and I was a growing up boy. I was like 23 or something. I don't know. I was full grown. I went behind the barn and bawled, wept like a little person. I didn't, no offense to little people. I cried. I loved that dog. I raised her from a pup. She would like come over and like jump into bed with me when she was like tiny and like snuggle up. And then when she like too big for that, she would come in the morning, the long Doberman nose and poke me and wake me up. I loved that dog. She was like, don't tell my family. She was like family. I loved her so much. And then I had to give her away. I sold her, but it was a token. It was just, I didn't want the person to like, I don't know, not treat her nicely. And she left me. And that moment, I told myself, tears, I will never have another dog. I'm not going to do this again because if I have another dog, I'm going to love it. And then this will happen. Someday it'll die. I knew that. It's like, I will lose it. I never have. And I've been helped along in that process by, you would think two boys. Of course you want a dog. They do. But luckily, but their mom is really allergic to dogs. So, can't have a dog. So I will never have a dog again. It's phenomenal. I will not open myself. I don't want to lose something that I love. It's horrible to lose what you love. It's the worst thing in the world. But that's our reality. Listen, that's what he's saying in this verse is you love stuff and then you lose it. You always lose. We always lose what we love sooner or later. It's either by death or because time goes by or it just gets worn out or our life changes, our body changes, whatever it is that you desire and you love, you're going to lose it. That's life. That's the reality. Everything that we love is temporary, but it doesn't have to be that way. There's a positive big idea in this text. So keep reading. And then here's what the positive idea is going to be. We can live right now for what is eternal, for things that we won't lose, for things that we could never lose. We don't have to only love what we will lose and be unsatisfied and anxious as we go through life. Keep reading in the verse. Whoever does the will of God, Whoever does the will of God. So think about that. What is doing the will of God? This should be a series, not a sermon. What is doing the will of God? It's big categories, right? But listen, it's obeying God. It's becoming more like Jesus. That's a big category. It's serving and loving other people. That's doing the will of God. It's using your gifts and your talents to build up the body of Christ here. It's more than anything, maybe. It's helping other people know God and become his children by giving them the gospel, speaking the gospel to them. That's doing God's will. Why does he say whoever does the will of God? We've been talking about loving. We've been talking about desiring. And now he says do. What does a do come from? Well, what we love determines what we value, and that determines what we go after and what we end up doing. So he says, whoever does the will of God, what does it say? Abides forever, last forever. That's what will last longer than a whole summer pass to the gym. To the zoo. Mixing up metaphors. Whoever does the will of God will last forever. That's eternal. It's not temporary. Doing the will of God is eternal. But look at what is eternal. Whoever the person. You are eternal. The person lasts forever. By loving what is eternal, by doing the will of God, by loving the will of God, by loving God and his will, listen, you become eternal because you build your life on something that will last forever. You do something with your life that will last for all of eternity. You give yourself to building up your relationship and your communion with God, becoming like Jesus, knowing God, walking closer and closer with him, not checking a box and saying, I was baptized, so I'm going to go to heaven. Now I'm going to go after all the other stuff that I want in life. It's giving yourself to that relationship that will last forever. We're helping other people know God, other people in heaven because of your life and your testimony and the words that you spoke to them and the times you sat down and opened the Bible with them, that will last forever. We can give our life and our love to things that will last forever. We don't have to waste our life on temporary desires that live at the center of who we are, that make us go after things that we will end up losing someday. What should we do? What's the application from this verse? I think the application is this. We should stop living for what is temporary, and we should dedicate our lives to what is eternal. That's what we should do. How do we do that? If you're not a Christian, the way that you stop living for what's temporary and give your life to what's eternal, you give yourself to Jesus. You surrender to him. Because until this moment, listen, you have constructed your life like everyone else on your stuff, on what you desire. You've constructed your life on what you are going after. You've been the boss of your own life. And the bad, bad news for you is that is temporary. Everything you've built on your life and everything you're going after and that you want, even if you get it, it won't last and it won't satisfy you. The good news is that your creator invites you to give your life to something that's eternal by giving yourself to Jesus, deciding to follow him by repenting, being baptized, and in that moment, in that way, accepting him as Savior and Lord. In this community, when you say, I want to give my life to something that will last, tell someone you can repent and be baptized. And for those of us who are Christian, listen, don't miss what John is saying in this passage. Saying that God's children, if you're one of God's children, this is our application. God's children live for what is eternal. That's what he's trying to tell us. We know that we will live forever with our Father. And so in this life, we run after what is eternal. It's the most important thing to us. It's what we most desire above all other desires that we have. We live for our relationship with God that we're supposed to. We live to imitate Jesus more and more. That's what we're supposed to do. We live so that other people can come to know God. That's supposed to be the passion, the center of the focus of God's children. That's supposed to be what we do. So the question for you and I, if you're a Christian, listen, this is the question for us, our application. How can you live less for what's temporary? And how can you dedicate your life more to what is eternal? That's a question. Think about that. How can you do that more? How can you dedicate your life to doing the will of God more? How can you live for what's eternal? How can you desire it? How can you do it? Think about that question. And if you say, I don't know, ask God. As we move into a time where there's going to be silence, we're going to take communion together, talk to God and say, God, how do I do that? How do I stop running after what's temporary? And how do I start desiring more what will last for eternity? My relationship with you and other people around me knowing you. How do I run after that? How can I do that? And as we take communion, as you meditate on that question, I want us to remember what Jesus, we're supposed to remember what Jesus did, because during his life, that's what he did. He didn't chase after the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the boastfulness of life. He denied himself. He took up his cross. He didn't go after his passions and his desires and his flesh and his pride. He didn't dedicate his life to being and to getting and to accumulating. He left the comfort and security that he had. He gave himself up. He suffered during his life, and then he suffered an incredible, horrible, torturous death so that we could be reconciled with God and we could be forgiven. We'd be adopted into his family. And so as we take communion, we remember that. Remember his body broken and his blood shed. We remember that. That takes us to a question we should ask ourselves, the question we're supposed to ask ourselves today. How do I imitate him? How do I do that? How do I stop running after what's temporary? How do I dedicate my life to what's eternal? What would it mean for you to do that? So let's think about that. And together, as we take communion, let's thank him for his sacrifice together. And individually, let's dedicate ourselves to imitating him better with our lives. God, we thank you. Thank you for being good, kind, and loving. Thank you for calling us to something bigger, something better. Thank you for calling us to what is eternal. Thank you for giving us something to put at the center of our heart to love, that we love you. And as we do that, then we do your will. And as we do your will, we become closer to you and we know you better and we help other people know you. And thank you for giving us that which will last for all of eternity, something that we can love that we will never lose. So God, in this moment, remember Jesus, remember what he did on the cross. Help us to be full of gratitude that he did that. And help us, God, through your Spirit, guide us into knowing what that means for us, how we live more like Jesus in search of what's eternal. In his name we pray. Amen.